You know, a wonderful blessing we enjoy as Christians is the fellowship we have one with another. We are members one of another. If you would, take your Bibles and turn over to Romans, the 12th chapter. Romans, the 12th chapter. I'll be reading verse 5. Romans 12, 5. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one member one of another. Romans 12, 5. Thus we have a special bond or a tie that binds us together. Our class in men's training class yesterday morning was on singing. Brother Herb taught the class. He did an outstanding job. And I would like to say that because of the class, I made this sermon this morning, but in all honesty, I made this sermon last week because I forgot that Tom and Joe was preaching last Sunday, and this should have been preached last Sunday morning. But a simple and beautiful song that describes this bond that we're talking about this morning is Blessed Be the Tide. If you want to, in your song books, Blessed Be the Tide is on page 76. And we're going to take the first four verses of this song and we're going to break it down. Herb was talking about this yesterday morning in the class, about how that sometimes we get on autopilot and we get to singing these songs and we're not thinking about the words that they represent, what they mean. And we need to be paying attention to what the words are that these songs are telling us. Amen. From the words of this song, let us take the opportunity to reflect upon the special bond that we enjoy as Christians. The first verse here, I'm going to take the first half of the first verse. It says, blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. Consider first, the tie that binds us is not, it is not an earthly tie, such as friendship, marriage, family, all of which are either social or physical ties. This tie is also not broken through earthly ties, such as separation, incompatibility, death. Consider then what the tie that binds is. Love. Love is not easily broken. Read about this in Colossians 3:14. There are a lot of people that claim they love the Lord or they love someone else, but at the first hint of trouble, guess what? They're gone. They're not around anymore. But to truly love somebody, you're there for the thick and the thin, through the good and the bad, through the ups and the downs. Love that comes from God of love. 1 John 4:7-11 talks about this. Love. This is learned from the example that Christ left us. 1 John 3:16. Love serves as a mark of true discipleship. John 13:34-35. The tie involves love that is uniquely Christian, patterned after Christ is love. We talk about being a Christian and Christians. The word Christian means Christ-like. And think about the love that Jesus Christ showed us in all he did. Tim, when he was doing the Lord's Supper this morning, portrayed what God, Jesus had done to give us the salvation that we have. Now first verse. The fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. This tie involves a unity for which Christ Jesus prayed. Turn over to John 17. John 17, I'll be reading verses 20 through 23. John 17, 20 through 23. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I give them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and thou in thee, that thou mayest be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved me as thou hast loved me. John 17, 20 through 23. Jesus prayed for this. We need to be praying for this for one another. We just talked about Jesus being our example. We need to be doing this as well. It involves a unity of mind of which Paul prayed. Now turn over to Philippians 2:2. Philippians 2:2. Fulfill me my joy that we be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Philippians 2:2. See, don't those two parallel what Jesus prayed and what Paul's praying here? Therefore, any threat to these unities is strongly condemned. For example, 1 Corinthians 1:10. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 1:10. And here's the condemnation if you go against the unity. I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye speak the same thing, that there be no division among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. 1 Corinthians 1:10. We're to be united. You know, you've heard me talk before about, especially you guys, be out hammering somewhere and you hit that old thumb. When you hit that thumb, the whole body knows about it. Your old right hand will grab that old thumb, and your feet may even do a little dance because you're hurting. Your mouth may even be saying, oh, because they're all joined together. Are we not one body in Christ?
Amen.
So we know it when this is going on. The tie seeks to emulate the unity between the Father and the Son. Are they not one? Two people, but one. The Father and the Son. The tie that binds is based upon the love and unity which Christ makes possible. How it is manifested is illustrated in the remaining verses of this song. Now we're going to the second verse of this song. And the first part of the second verse says, before our Father's throne, we pour our ardent prayers. We are blessed to be able to approach God in prayer. Are we not? We are. A privilege enjoyed in Christ. Hebrews 4, 14 through the first part of 16. A privilege with great blessings. Hebrews 4, the last part of verse 16. The song depicts frequent and fervent prayer. Prayer for one another. James 5, 16. Prayer with another. Acts 1, 14. When we have brothers and sisters that are having problems, we need to be praying for them. Why do you think that we have a little section in our bulletin that says prayer request? For people that are sick, for people that are traveling, great things can be accomplished through prayers. You know, there's been many times in my life that I thought something was totally impossible, but I prayed about it. And guess what? It happened. I said, well, I never would have believed it, but it happened. When we are earnestly praying for something, God will listen to us. Such prayer is a benefit for the tie that binds and also strengthens the ties. Now the last part of the second verse. Our fears, our hopes, our aims are one. Our comforts and our cares. We are similarly concerned with desires. Some because of are simply a fellow human in this world. We desire to be healthy. We fear sickness and dying. We enjoy comforts of life. We fear joblessness and poverty. Others because we are fellow citizens of the kingdom. But when our brothers and sisters are hurting, we need to hurt with them. Remember what I told you about the old thumb hitting it with a hammer? That thumb knew about it. Right hand knew about it. Feet knew about it. Whole body knew about it. Well, we need to be the same with our brothers and sisters here in Christ. We share the hope of the resurrection and eternal life, 1 Peter 1, 3. We share in the struggle against temptation and persecution, 1 Peter 5, 8 through 9. As Christians, therefore, we can have more in common when we're unified. Not just because of human nature, but also because we are partakers of a divine nature. Grace and peace are multiplied. 2 Peter 1, 2, and 3. We are exceedingly great and have an exceedingly great and precious promise. 2 Peter 1, 4. Our shared experiences, enhanced by our spiritual blessings, strengths, which strengthens our ties. Now the next verse, which is verse 3, focuses on mutual problems that we sometimes face. First part of verse 3. We share our mutual woes, our mutual burdens bear. As Christians, we are to bear one another's burdens. Galatians 6, 1 through 2. You would turn over there to Galatians 6. Let's read this together. Galatians 6, 1 through 2. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Galatians 6, 1 through 2. In times of spiritual weakness, We are to pray for one another. James 5:16. We talked about this a little bit ago. You would turn over to James 5:16. We need to notice how important this is. James 5:16 says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. James 5:16. Notice the first part of this. Confess your faults one to another. How many of us have this pride in our life today that says, I'm perfect. I ain't got no faults. Me and Christ, we were the only two perfect ones on the face of this earth. I just feel bad about all y'all. But we're all human. We all have faults. We need to confess them one to another. When we have faults, we need to be coming and saying, I need the congregation to pray for me. Or go to the elders and say, hey, I'm having some problems. Well, can we have a prayer together? The last part of this says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. A lot can be accomplished when we pray. In times of persecution, we are to remember one another. Turn over to Hebrews 13:3. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being ourselves also in the body. Hebrews 13:3. Once again, this here is talking like I was talking about hitting the old thumb with a hammer. If one thing happens to the body, it happens to all the body. In times of physical need, we are to provide for one another. James 1:27. Turn over to James 1:27. Pure religion and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. James 1:27. Manifested in such ways, the tie we have in Christ is truly a blessing. Amen?
Amen.
We have that blessing. Now let's look at the next part. And off of each other flows a sympathizing tear. You know, when one of us hurts, we all ought to be hurting. Because that is how God composed the body of Christ. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 12. I'll be starting in the last part of verse 24 and going through 26. 1 Corinthians 12, the last part of 24 through 26. But God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacketh, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. 1 Corinthians 12, the last part of 24 through 26. We had a saying in the army, a squad or a platoon or a company is only as strong as its weakest link. We as Christians are the same. We need to remember this. If one of us is honored, we're all honored. If one of us is distraught over something, we all need to be distraught over it. This is because that we might weep with those who weep. Turn over to Romans 12:15 now. Romans 12:15. Rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. Is that not a pretty simple statement? You know, people have a tendency of saying, well, you know, I don't read that way. I don't know how else you can read that statement. We rejoice with them that rejoice and weep with those that weep. Romans 12:15. An emotional but effective demonstration of a bond we share. Now the final verse describes the impact of the tie that binds. When it comes time to separate, even for a temporary amount of time. Now the fourth verse, which is the last verse we'll be doing this morning. It starts out, the first part of it says, when we asunder part, it gives us inward pain. How many fellow members have we had here at this congregation that have moved back to the lower 48 that are not with us anymore, but they're still with us here, are they not? They're still here with us in the heart. The tie is such that departure can be painful. Note the example of Paul and the Ephesian elders. Turn over to Acts 20. Acts 20. I'll be reading verses 36 through 38. And I really want you to think about this while we're reading this. You know, this kind of got to me when I was thinking about it and reading it. And it says, and when he had thus spoken, he knelt down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he had spoken, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship. Acts 20, verse 36 through 38. You know, just reading that, I can picture that. Paul kneeling down and praying, and all of them crying because it's the last time they're going to see one another. They're all hugging each other's necks, and they follow him down to the ship. Never experienced such pain. If you haven't, perhaps one might need to examine their ties. Because we are one body here. We're a family here. There's no one in this room that has my DNA, but we're still brothers and sisters. We're still family. Now the last part of the fourth verse. We're coming to an end here. But we shall be joined in heart and hope to meet again. We might be separated in flesh, but can remain together in the Spirit. Turn over to Colossians 2:5. Colossians 2:5. For I, though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the Spirit, joying and beholding your order, and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Colossians 2:5. We are comforted by a wonderful hope. The hope of the resurrection. Amen?
Amen.
We are all bound together in that one hope of the resurrection. We can read about this in 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18. That hope that we have in that resurrection is made possible by the resurrection of Christ and our faith in Him. 1 Peter 1:3-5. It is this hope which keeps our hearts joined together when all other bonds fail. Blessed be the tie that binds. Is a beautiful song that describes the blessings of our oneness in Christ. That expresses how many Christians truly feel about one another. But the described blessings known only by those who have been added to the church of Christ, or the Lord's church. Acts 2, 41 and 47. Who are diligent in the preservation, the preserving the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, Ephesians 4, 1 through 3. Have you been added to the Lord's church through obedience to the gospel? The plan of salvation is you must hear the gospel. Romans 10, 17. You must believe the gospel. Hebrews 11, 6. Repent of all of your sins. Acts 17, 30. Confess Christ as the Son of God. Romans 10, 9 and 10. Be baptized for the remission of your sins. Galatians 3, 26 through 27. Be faithful to the end of life. Galatians 6, 9. If you do those things, you're well on your way. Are you doing your part to strengthen the ties that bind those Christians? We need to be working on these things. We need to be praying one for another. If you've never obeyed the gospel, you make me want to cry. You really do. If you're above the age of accountability. Because if something happens today, we'll never see each other again. If you're a Christian and you've not been living a life like a Christian should, you too are in that same boat. Stand a chance that we may not ever see each other again. If we can help you anyway spiritually this morning, please do it before it's too late. We don't know when the second coming's coming. How many times have y'all heard me clap my hands and say, that's how quick the second coming's going to be? You got to be prepared. If we can help you anyway spiritually this morning, please come as we stand and as we sing.